Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Fears are building that a transatlantic trade war with the United States could cause an economic shock, rivaling Ireland's 2008 financial crash. The Minister for Finance, Pascal Donoghue, has admitted he's extremely concerned about the potential impact of proposed US tariffs on pharmaceutical exports, warning they could deliver a major blow to Ireland's economy. Well, joining me now for more on this is Edgar Morgenroth, who's Professor of Economics at DCU, and Peter Brown, Managing Director at Bagot Investment Partners. And you're both welcome. Peter, I'm going to start with you. Like, the remarks by Pascal Donoghue, coupled by what he said last weekend about the 80,000 jobs, it's really telling, isn't it? Because as finance minister, he's ordinarily someone who veers towards the positive and tends to hold his nerve and tells us how robust Ireland is and we have a cushion and all of that. Not saying that now.
No, he's not saying that now for good reason. I mean, Trump's tariff policy, when it started, it looked like a bullying tactic. Because he was just throwing tariffs around all over the place, and then it was a bit of negotiation back and a bit of adjustment. But the longer this goes on, the more it looks like it's an embedded policy. So that's worrying, right? So Ireland's very, very exposed, really exposed. One of the stark figures is that there's 25% put on German exports, German motor exports to US, and they export $22 billion worth of cars and motor parts to the United States. Ireland exports $44 billion worth of just pharma alone, right? $75 billion in total.
So they're worried in Germany. So they're that really tells you how we should feel today.
Which absolutely tells you how we should feel. The concept that Ireland would get a sweetheart deal and something like that, that's not going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. People need to understand that when they look at Donald Trump and look at this man, he's not very well read, he's not this, he's a bit kind of, airy-fairy, doesn't rely on the truth. He's not driving this policy. The people behind him in this team are way superior than the people who were in the team previously. This guy Bessenton, the Treasury Secretary, Treasury Secretary Rubio, these are really highly intelligent leaders in their industry. And this is a chess strategy to regenerate United States of America and reverse since World War II, United States has been taking advantage of WHO, United Nations, sorting out wars, massive amount of export. They're going to try and reverse this. And we are experiencing over the last decade, two decades, a phenomenal amount of receipt of tax revenue from companies exporting into the United States without a penalty. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is going to change.
OK, Edgar Morgenroth, just want to get your view firstly on Pascal Donoghue issuing the warnings. I mean, rarely is he a canary in the coal mine type, as we said earlier. So the fact that he is speaking the way he is, given his role in the Eurogroup as well, do you think that's telling?
I think any sensible analysis of what is going on and what the potential implications could be would tell you that this can potentially be quite serious. It depends a little bit on how we as Europeans deal with this. And I would also say that there is a difference between Germany and Ireland. A pharmaceutical doesn't, if it's under patent, doesn't have a substitute, whereas cars do have substitutes. So it's actually in some ways worse for the German car industry than it would be for the pharmaceutical industry. The difference, though, is that our pharmaceutical industry is largely US, and what Trump is trying to do and his team trying to bring some of that production back into the US, and that is where the real danger for us is.
Can I just ask you on that point, because Danny McCoy from IBEC was here yesterday and he was talking about that very point, and he suggested that because America has become so unpredictable now, that these very big global companies might be disinclined to set up shop in any major way in the States.
I would agree with that, and in fact, I would take issue what was said earlier. I don't think these people are particularly clever, and the view that they hold is certainly very much challenged by the vast majority of economists looking at this. There are some very big misconceptions in and also inconsistencies in what they're trying to do. Now, we just, you know, there's no point arguing with them. They believe this stuff and they're going to follow through with it. We just have to deal with it as it comes. And to go back to your question, yes, I think Trump is creating so much uncertainty that that is likely this tactic or strategy is likely to backfire. In the meantime, in fact, the U.S. economy might actually go into a serious recession before any sort of real impact has happened in Europe. Yeah. So, Peter, can I
get your take on that? Like, that is something that we're relying on, I think, in a way, is that the American economy might get such a shock that that's the one thing that might deter Donald Trump and his team from pursuing this.
I think there's a possibility of some negotiation, but I don't think Donald Trump cares about the US economy in the short term. This man is interested in his legacy after he leaves. So if there's 2 years where the US economy dips, I don't think he's going to care if that means there's more manufacturing, more jobs, more wealth in the United States in the longer term. Things like Greenland, things like the Panama Canal. This is legacy stuff for him. Right. And the people that voted him in, are, you know, the cost of living, I'm going to bring down the cost of living. He's not going to bring down the cost of living. He's going to increase the cost of living. But he doesn't seem to care about that. He doesn't care about the stock market like he did the previous time. It's all about legacy and building America back up, which is dangerous. And, you know, you can argue further down the road here that America's going to be in huge trouble if they annex Greenland. People won't buy their bonds. They've got a massive debt to fund. So there's huge issues coming down the road. The immediate issue for Ireland and for Germany and for Europe is tariffs. And what is the impact? I understand you just don't move a pharma manufacturing facility over to America. Mm-hmm. But if he doesn't get his way that way, will he look at some way of penalising them about the tax they pay here and try and penalise them something? Like, he's the bully in the schoolyard. He can make the rules up as he goes along and people just have to kind of bend over because the dangers of what he can do to an economy.
Edgar, go ahead.
Well, I would disagree with this. I think he thinks he is the bully and that he can dictate to the world. And I think that what has to be shown to him is that that's not how it's going to work. The EU plus Canada, Mexico are basically the same size as the US. So he's not going to be able to bully them about. If he wants to go after taxes, he can try and do this. We can also hurt the US economy. That's what he has to understand. Now, I know he might not care too much about it, but when his own backers are starting to lose money, and we've seen this recently with Tesla, I think they do start to hurt and they do start to think, is this the right thing to do? The tariffs themselves, I think, you know, they will come, they will change what the US pays for their medicines. That's not going to do very much. I think for us, the danger is that firms leave Ireland and our economic model is very much built on multinationals and particularly US multinationals coming to Ireland. Mm-hmm. That is the danger. That is what Pascal Donohue is worried about. It would be a big fiscal shock. The 80,000 employees, that's actually not such a big thing when you have well over 2 million employees, but the fiscal shock is a really serious one.
And listen, Edgar, we're reliant, aren't we, on the EU to negotiate here on our behalf. But we know that the EU never really liked our taxation regime. It's been a big issue for them over time. So how confident are you that we can rely on that support?
Well, the EU, again, we're more exposed in terms of the share of exports, goods exports going to the US. It's much higher for Ireland than any other country. The good thing for us is that one of the next most exposed countries is Germany, and they do have a bit of weight around the EU. And indeed, you know, if we weren't members of the EU, we would be in a much worse position. That's the point where Trump would be able to bully you around the place. And let's remember, no deal with Trump is a reliable deal. He negotiated a deal with Mexico and Canada, which he said at the time was the best deal ever. And now he's ripped that, his mm-hmm. own deal up, calling it a really bad deal. So there's no certainty okay. if you do a deal with him that this goes away.
Peter, you want to come in?
Yeah, I hope Edgar's right and I'm wrong. I hope that's the case. But I'm looking at the US motor industry and the lobby there. Right, and the lobby there is incredibly strong, but doesn't seem to have any effect on this government.
So you're taking a lesson from that?
I'm taking a lesson. If they can't reverse these tariffs in the motor industry, there's no chance of the EU, Canada, Mexico or Ireland doing that. I think that's we need to be very worried that these tariffs become embedded. And if they become embedded, then you get the retaliation of tariffs back in America, and then we get a global tariff war and we get a global recession. So hopefully Edgar is right and Trump does care and he'll back off and then this will just fizzle out last time. But
you're talking not so much about lobbying here, but by pure brute force and mm-hmm. retaliation from the rest of the world, right?
I think the way we need to tackle this is not on Trump's terms. I think that is the important thing. I would actually do nothing to start with because ultimately it's hurting the US. And then, calibrate very, very carefully as to how we would respond. I think a coalition of the EU, Canada and Mexico could stop all manufacturing in the US overnight. If they really wanted to, because we're so integrated. If you don't have a particular part that is required to make a car, a US-made car, you will not be making that car. You can't sell a car without a steering wheel.
That goes beyond tariffs, though, what you're suggesting, Edgar. That goes beyond tariffs.
So this is, if Trump wants to play a dirty game, this is going to get very, very messy. It's not good for us either. A small response with a big impact is what we need, and other than that, we will just. I think I would just ignore him and get on with things. And it's for Ireland, the point about pharmaceuticals is that can we keep these companies here? What is it that they need to stay here? Mm-hmm. That's what we should be focusing on Trump's game.
Can I just clarify what you're suggesting there? Are you suggesting that the EU, Mexico and Canada come together and say nothing should be exported to the United States?
No. All you need to do is identify one part that is needed in the US and then you just stop that part. This is, if you want to play dirty, you can play dirty. If that's what he wants to do, it's easy to do for the EU and other like-minded countries too. The point is that ultimately this is not something he can keep up either.
Okay. Let's get Peter's view on that take. So play dirty with him.
No, something like that. These people have their backup, and if you attack them, right, they're going to get worse. They're not going to back down. America's not going to back down, right? So if we attack them like that, a concept like that would cause a global economic financial crash, would dwarf 2008. So basically, the only option here is to negotiate, right, and try to be friendly and negotiate. It's very difficult negotiating. And you can see when people end up in the Oval Office talking to this man,
what happens?
You can see what's happening, right? And that's the only way you're going to get a response at him. I mean, if we go on the offensive here, we get a global tariff war, which causes a massive recession.
But that's where we're heading anyway.
You don't placate the bully. That's the first rule around bullying. That's the first thing you should not do. And ultimately, he doesn't keep his own deals. So you're doing a deal that you have no guarantee that an hour later he doesn't turn around and say, well, actually, I'm not happy. I'm going to do something more. And in fact, the easier you make it for him, the more he's going to be looking for. So that is the wrong thing to do. That's why I say initially I would just do nothing and not even engage. He wants a response. Let's not give it to him.
Listen, I'm going to leave it there, but we'll be coming back to this, no doubt, and in the gathering as well today, I would expect. But for now, Peter Brown from Bagot Investment Partners and Edgar Morgan Roth, thank you both for joining us on the programme. Now, we'll have the latest on the breaking news of that earthquake in Myanmar after the break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.